Let's give them something to talk about. Talking about songs, yeah.
Hello. Welcome to the podcast.
So burritos used to be my favorite food, but now it's pizza.
When was the shift? How did you decide to go from one to the other? Because usually I feel like when people pick a favorite, it gets sticky. And you need to, like, really make it not your favorite for you to move out of that favorite zone.
Maybe it never was my favorite.
Ooh. Well, I remember when you were younger, your favorite color was brown, and that was always interesting to me.
Still is. And that's sticky. Little poop joke for the listeners.
Hey, what's brown and sticky? A stick. That's a Nixamata classic.
Sounds like
Welcome to Song Thing to Talk About, the podcast where we talk. Been a little bit since our last episode, and as you can probably tell, our audio quality is steadily decreasing. So if the quality of the audio is botheringly bad, please send me an email at tedschwaba@gmail.com. Thanks.
I think it's my fault. Bear with me.
Yeah, so tell me about your favorite food. So you had...
Yeah, I had burritos as my favorite. I always liked them. And then you said you had tacos for dinner tonight. Or you lied and you said pizza. No, you had pizza tonight, but you lied and you actually had tacos.
Yes.
Yeah, so tacos and burritos are... They're similar. Can I say that? Anyways, they're similar and... I don't know. I just really like the ingredients of Mexican food. So I said, like, burritos were my favorite. They're always the best. But I think whenever I went to Chipotle, I had the Subway curse where every time you go...
You want to get all the toppings because they're free.
Mm-hmm. And so every time I get it, it tastes the same.
That makes sense. Yeah, every time I go to Chipotle, I get the same stuff. Do you get corn on your Chipotle? I feel like their corn is all messed up.
I switch off with corn, actually, because I agree with you. But so it used to be burritos, and then that was just kind of got loose, maybe, because I kept having the same burrito, I guess. And then I thought about how every single time I have pizza, even if it's frozen pizza, it's a good time. Like, I get excited if I'm having frozen pizza.
Yeah, I had a really, really bad frozen pizza. Rachel found a Chuck E. Cheese brand frozen pizza individual on sale, and so it was small, it was poorly made, I overcooked it, and it was still all right because it was a pizza.
Yeah, exactly.
I was like, this is one of the worst pizzas I've ever had, and I'm still enjoying it. I would, however, recommend do not get the Chuck E. Cheese freezer pizza. Not like anyone was going to, but it's not very good.
Yeah, I don't even know how you find that.
Deep in the corner of the freezer next to all those like big bags of shrimp where it's like that's more shrimp than I would eat in a year.
That's the thing, is that pizza's always good, therefore it deserves to be a favor. Anyways, yeah. Speaking of Mexican food, I'm gonna spell out two words for you and you're gonna pronounce them to me.
Okay.
P-A-K-E is the first word, T-A-X-O is the next word.
Take taxo.
Well, I think it's like...
Are
it's
they English
Mexico?
Words? Oh, so Mexico. I would say paque, and then I'd say tajo.
Do they... Oh, it's tajo. Is it? I thought it would just be paque taxo, and no matter how I say it, makes me sound very white.
I'm pretty sure that the X is like a H because that's how they do it like in northern Spain, like in the Basque region.
Mm.
But I also do not know.
And Tejas for Texas?
Yeah. Yep. It also is how people who speak Spanish like to get around these swear filters in League of Legends. They call me,
oh, also,
they call
Awaka.
Me a puto spelled P-X-T-O. Wait. And I'm like, sorry.
Sorry, I understand what you're saying, but sorry, I'm bad.
It's their fault for getting angry at a video game. You should just not play if you get angry when you're playing a video game.
Yeah. I was thinking about that, because one of my friends still gets mad, but that's all he does. So it really matters to him. And I was like, okay, I guess that makes sense.
Gotta diversify your interests, then.
Your portfolio of interests.
Yeah.
Well, I saw Cybertruck.
Did you say you saw Cybertruck? Because I saw one today, too. And I wanted to give it the middle finger, but then I realized the guy... First of all, no need to get angry, because the person has already cursed themselves by buying a Cybertruck. So their their punishment is their crime, which in a way is all very cosmically circular.
This one's license plate was ugly truck.
Okay.
I was like, but you bought it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Piss me off even more.
Yeah, that's very upsetting. Why would you get one? Are they cheap?
No, they're like definitely more than 100 grand.
Well, that's extra stupid then.
It's so funny. YKS was talking about this. They're like, oh yeah, they hit the niche target of country folk who need a truck that also want an electric vehicle. Like, well, you still use gas for yours? Like, just switching it around.
Yeah. That's good. Because the whole thing is just, like, I want to feel good about myself, and to make myself feel good, then I got to be putting other people down. So then it just, you get into this weird, untenable sort of, like, yeah.
Is that what virtue signaling is?
No, virtue signaling is all the stuff that I do. Which is good.
Which is good, okay.
And virtuous. But I feel like virtue signaling isn't a bad thing, because it's like, if you do a good thing and then you say you did a good thing, you still did the good thing.
That's a great point.
You're like, look at me, I'm so good. And people are like, I guess you are good. You're volunteering and helping.
Also, I love giving compliments to people, because their joy makes me happy. So I guess I'm virtue signaling, and
would
I should
you give
stop.
A compliment to Hitler?
Was his artwork good?
I actually don't know. Let
Bad
me
of Hitler
ask,
for his artwork.
Let me ask Google AI if Hitler's artwork was good.
Did he do art? Oh, am I thinking?
No, Google's AI says no. Adolf Hitler was not a great painter.
Okay. Yeah.
Thanks, Google AI.
It'd be funny if it said it. Oh, actually, he's really good. Like, start defending it.
Yeah. Oh, so what have you been up to in terms of music listening?
I've been listening to so much Over Mono.
Nice.
And the new Kendrick album, I tried to listen to it, but I can't get through it. I don't like it.
You don't like it? Ooh, interesting. Tell me more.
I don't know. I don't like listening to it. It's not... I think it might be the production.
Is it Ant Jackanoff? Is it all his fault?
I mean, I really don't want to say it is, but it just seems like it's not much going on. I don't know.
Yeah,
I need to try again.
Well, see, I feel like that's the thing with this Kendrick album, is it's so much more sparsely arranged in a way where he's just like, he's doing what every other rapper does, which he usually doesn't, which is, hey, can I get that beat that I like? Cool. And then he raps over it. Whereas usually I feel like the rapper and the producer on Kendrick albums are much more intertwined. On this one, it's very clear that he's like, hey, DJ Mustard, cook me up another one of those. And DJ Mustard's like, cool, okay. And then Jack Antonoff's like, now I will make it sound more poppy by, I don't even know, turning this dial 5%. And then all of a sudden, you've got the song. Like, clearly it's the process that went into it is more standard than the other albums.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I like it, though. I think that a lot of the bars hit. I think that the song Reincarnated, Whoo, that's a winner. That's a 10 out of 10 track. It's got nice metaphors and stuff. And plus, the way he raps to himself in different voices. Someone else should be doing this, but Kendrick is the only person who puts on different personas in a rap song and does it good. Basically, no
He
one else even tries to do that. Like
no one
every
does that.
other popular rapper raps as themselves only, or like fictionalized cool version of themselves. But when Kendrick does that, like, I'm Kendrick. Kendrick, I'm some other guy. It's like, yeah, give me more of that.
No, I really agree with that. 'Cause
You would think that
listening
other people would do it, but just do it bad, but they don't even try.
Kanye tried when his teeth got blown out or something. That was just on accident. Through the wire?
No, but he was still rapping as Kanye when he
Yeah, it was
sings
just on
the
accident.
scissorp. Yeah, he's just doing a different voice, but he's still Kanye, just with a different voice, you know?
Well, that's the thing, is that Kendrick's rapping about, like, well, I'm the best ever. And it's like, yeah, you are. But also, you need to stop rapping about that.
I don't know. I'd say you can keep doing it.
Well, he had
Oh,
one where, like, the.
actually, on the new Tyler the Creator album, Chromacopia, he does a rap from the point of view of a woman that he slept with.
Oh, yeah.
That album's pretty good. I think that album's better than GNX. There was a YouTube comment that said, "It's funny how this year Kendrick made his version of Call Me If You Get Lost and Tyler the Creator made his version of Mr. Morale."
That's really good.
Which I'm like, I'm glad I read the YouTube comments sometimes, because whoever commented that it's so true, because like this one's like the victory lap, like, yeah, look, I'm the best, I'm just doing my little raps. And then Tyler's more like, I'm going for a vibe here, and it's gonna be some songs that are about sad things.
I'm also really glad that you listen to or read the YouTube comments. You always pull some good stuff from there.
It's not, I can't stop.
Ooh, now that I have YouTube Premium, I'm gonna be using YouTube so much more. Yeah, I mean, I need to listen to this Kendrick album another time. I also need to listen to music in different places besides commuting and at the office and at the grocery store and on walks. I don't really know what we're at. I don't know if another place exists besides
Well,
those.
my first thought was you can do it while you're underwater at a pool, but you can't. So that I can't help.
They do need to make that though. I think they have that. Underwater
Water
speakers.
sounds. I'll bet you there's a Brian Eno album that's made to be listened to underwater that sounds way better, but that no one listens to.
Some frequencies probably wouldn't carry through, right? It would sound different no matter how hard you try.
Right. Music for orcas. Orca, an
Orchestra.
orchestra? And did you just
Yeah.
say that?
Oh,
Oh,
yeah.
wow.
Oh,
Oh,
yeah.
yeah. That's why we podcast together.
Speaking of water, the music videos for these floating point. Oh, we're doing. If we get to the album, Ted will decide when we talk about the album. But
Let's
we're
talk about the
doing.
album now. Let's talk now.
The speaking of water, I'm still working on my transition. The music videos for Cascade, an album by Floating Points, which we're talking about right now.
That's the album of the episode.
That it's very watery looking, the music video is. And that was my transition.
Wow. Should we do like a little song when it goes to us talking about the album?
You want me to make it?
Yeah, let's make a little song. We'll go like, it's the album, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You make like a little samba, like a do 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 do. It's the album, yeah. Yeah, I only know three samba songs. They are Girl from Ipanema, Wii Sports, and Me Maker.
E maker.
Me Maker.
Me maker. Yeah.
You
Oh, yeah.
Maker.
The samba that was played at your wedding.
Yeah. during the time where I actually had to step out of my wedding. I was escorted out. Yeah, I had to miss that song. The photographer's like, I'm heading out, but before I head out, let me get two more pictures. So, like, we stepped outside. She shot two more pictures. And then we went back in.
It's all right. People didn't really know what to do during it, so.
That makes sense. I wouldn't have known either. so, yeah, we're talking about Floating Points. That's the song. And it's multiple songs, actually. It's 9 of them. And I want to say it's 55 minutes long.
57 minutes.
See if that's true. Well, my version's maybe a little shorter. But no, it's 57. Mine's also 57 minutes.
Why would yours be different? Okay.
I don't know. Wouldn't that be funny, though?
You got me. You did have me.
I just got a record player. After going, I think, the last 10 years without having a record player. And I found Dope Smoker by Sleep on vinyl.
Oh.
Which is hilarious because that is an album that is 2 songs. And one song is 1 hour long. And the second song is 8 minutes long.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm like, how are they going to do this on vinyl? And the answer is that side 1A, 1B, and 2A is the 3 parts of the big song. And I am really excited to listen to it to see how the heck they split it up. It's like, how are you got to split it up something. Like, you can't do an hour long of a song.
Oh, yeah. Like, when's the intermission?
Yeah, I don't know. So I wonder if they're going to make the song a little bit different than it is on the, like, digital or CD versions because it just won't fit. I don't know. I would highly recommend, if you're listening to this, you should listen to that album. It kind of goes like, and it basically, it's what the soundtrack of Dune, the movie, should have sounded like. Wouldn't that be cool if they just had Dune's soundtrack be Dope Smoker?
Well, the cover of Dope Smoker is just futuristic men walking through a desert.
Right, it's Dune but weed.
Yeah.
We gotta smoke this weed to survive. Nice try.
Paul Atreides rolls the best, I swear.
Oh, yeah, that would be cool, right? And then when you get high, your eyes turn blue instead of red.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yo, pass me some of that sand.
Yeah.
Did you bring this up, Sleep album up, because it essentially, the album is just one song. Did you bring that up because Cascade is kind of similar to that? I mean, I don't really. I think these songs are split up pretty obviously. However, I guess my point is that the beginning and the end of most of these songs on Cascade are very different. He just kind of goes into another path, and then the song ends.
Like, okay, I got one more. Okay, so you smoke so much spice, you want to drink the goop in Baron Harkonnen's little, like, goop puddle. Okay, sorry.
I'm gonna drink it.
Yeah, and he's like, no, don't drink it, dude. That's poison. And you're like, no, dude, it looks so good and goopy. What was I? Oh, yeah. I agree that this is actually my biggest qualm with the album. Too much faffing about at the beginning and ends of these songs. I feel like Floating Points is up there with... So the worst offender of this is Pete Rock. Pete Rock, the DJ, beatmaker, producer. Like, every song he does, there's like 10 seconds of a different song at the start. I'm like, okay, I get it, Pete Rock. You've got a lot of ideas. You can make a cool beat and then go, now we're doing a different beat. But I feel like every single Floating Point song starts out with him going like, and you're like, okay, it's like he's tuning his instrument at the start of each song. And then eventually, like, the beat comes in and then you do something. And then when it ends, it kind of, like, fades out. But I don't like that faffy stuff. It's just so immaterial, and it's such a motif that's, like... Like on his first album, what's it called? Elenia is the restaurant.
Well, there's Shadows was his first one in 2011, and then Ellen, Alania.
Oh, I didn't even know he had an album before that. On that album, all the songs, they go, do you know what I'm talking about?
No, I do, yeah. I didn't hear it too much on Cascade. I mean, for the most part, it started out soft and fluffy, but there, yeah, go for it, finisher.
Well, I guess I just sort of have an ear for hearing it and getting annoyed whenever it happens. It's like the same thing, like, whenever I drink anything or eat anything that has bourbon in it, I'm like, oh, that's bourbon. It can have, like, one molecule of bourbon, and I'll be able to taste the bourbon in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I just,
the guy
like,
who points out that there's cinnamon in a chili.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, there's cinnamon.
I get
in
it. We can tell. We know what cinnamon tastes like, too, and it's a different taste. I feel like that motif, time has come and gone. You can drop it, Mr. Points. So I do like the meat of the songs. I like when we get into the middle, and it's a very, very carefully constructed, nice, pulsating rhythm. Almost all the songs on the album sound fantastic in their middle parts, but their start and their end, sometimes it just takes them too long to get going. And not in like this classic dance music build-up four on the floor get going, because this album isn't made to be mixed in that way. Like, I think that a lot of people who don't DJ are, they sometimes are like, why does this electronic song, like, why is it so boring? And that's because what they do is they, like, add in things on, like, 16 measure intervals, so that, like, if you're mixing the songs together, one will come out as you're fading the other one in, and, like, the beats and the stuff will all predictably appear and then disappear so that you can mix the stuff together effectively. And this album isn't made like that. It's sequenced like songs that aren't really supposed to be mixed, in that you don't have that like build up. And so then I don't really see the point for the build up.
Well, on the vocoder, in parentheses, Club Mix, that's the first song on mm-hmm. the album, I was kind of thinking about if he did some of that build up. To be completely transparent, I don't really know how Floating Point makes any of this music. I just know that he's a genius. So, but it, you know, it starts out, it has, it doesn't start out with just the drums. It starts out with drums and some other stuff going on. I don't know if he found a way to just kind of start it all at the same time and then modify each instrument as he goes. And then in the middle, you're right, it gets to like this nice groove where the melody's coming in and out and he's changing it and it's not repetitive or anything. But at the beginning, it just kind of has some weird buildup. I don't know if it's necessary or not, but I totally agree with you. At the beginning of Vocoder, the first song, the club mix, it has like a very unattractive but interesting sounding, I don't know, electronic sound coming from it. It's definitely just some melody that's heavily modified, and it's very Floating Points-esque. Yeah, you're very right.
I'm okay if you do it at the first song of the album, and then like on the last song of this album, what, Ablaze, it's kind of like that come down, like chill, like, we're spacing out at the end of the album. Like, that's cool, you can do that at the start and the end, but like in the middle, I want it to... we don't need to go back to slowing down again. I do also, I feel like it's called Club Mix because the single was a little bit shorter. And so I think the Club Mix is just, there's like different stuff in the last half of the song that like pads it out a little bit more. But I don't think, I don't know. I feel like you need a whole different version of these songs to play them in clubs.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't really do this. And okay. That's kind of what I'm getting at. It's like, I don't really know how he made this, but it can't really be too plausible considering how active these songs are.
Mm-hmm. I would love to hear this live. This would sound so good on good speakers.
I love how active they are, though. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's also all these like little fiddlings that he does with the songs to keep the like beats fresh. I took a note. What did I say? I said, oh, illusory smart guy stuff with slight left-right delay on some of the songs. And then there's, like, EQ manipulation, like the squishy tube things that you get at the aquarium. Which I don't remember what I meant when I said that. You know those little squishy tube things?
Is it where you squeeze one side and it pops out of your hand?
Yeah. I don't know that that now that I'm reading that back, it doesn't make any sense to me. But at one point, that did make sense to me.
No, that makes a lot of sense because I do remember those with like plastic dolphins in them.
Oh,
so I guess we got them at the aquarium.
Yeah. Well, I actually don't think I ever got them. I think I just played with the ones that were in the gift shop while I was in the gift shop and then just left them there when I left.
He makes some cool sounds in here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Del Oro is the first one where the beginning of it, it just kind of has some drony-esque electronic music. And then he has like, boop, 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 and it's like, floating points. There you go. He put in his signature melody that is just crazy notes put together. And then, but it's so cool how he uses that because, you know, there's like it goes back to being redundant after he plays that little motif. And then you hear it again, but it's not at a drop or anything predictable. It's kind of in the middle of some sequence or like some bar rather. Mm-hmm. And then it goes to a different sound. So it's really cool how far away he gets from repetitive.
Yeah.
Despite it being this genre.
Right. I think that if you were listening to it in the background, it would kind of seem kind of monotonous. But if you pay attention to it, it rewards you in a way that not a lot of electronic music does. Because I feel like a lot of electronic music, there is not that variation and those slight manipulations within the song that keep it interesting. Not that that makes it boring, just that like this is kind of like a special extra flavor. Mm-hmm. It's sort of like when I listen to pop country music on the radio and I'm like, okay, whatever. And then I turn on like a classic Chris Stapleton song and I'm like, oh, there's just so much more thought and ideas and like creativity in this song. Despite it being in the same genre and sounding nominally the same, there's just more care put into it.
Yeah. Like it's like, oh, they go back to the verse two, but this time, you know, instrument dropped out or the instrument's playing something completely different. And mm-hmm. it's just like, yeah, I mean, we already heard verse one. Why are you doing the same exact thing for verse two?
Mm-hmm.
I think Disclosure does that well for being so redundant in their, you know, notes that are being played and everything. They don't make it sound repetitive because they have something interesting happen either at the start or just something very small, but enough and thoughtful enough to where it keeps you interested.
I love Disclosure, and I feel like people who are cool dance music people don't like Disclosure and don't want me to like Disclosure, but I really like Disclosure.
Right? They're too popular.
They're too popular, and so snobby people are like, and I'm like, listen, I like it, and when I put it on for anybody, whoever it is, they like it too. So who's the real snob here?
I did Thanksgiving dishes with my mom listening to that, and she's like, ooh, I like this kind of music.
It's good stuff.
Yeah.
They have a new song that's out, and it's got some following in the, interesting wake of Flodan appearing on some Skrillex and Fred Again songs. They've got some like grime rapper doing stuff and it sounds great.
King Steps with Pa Celio?
Yeah.
I haven't listened to that.
That's my song recommendation of the episode.
Cool.
Nothing special, but it sounds good.
Octotillo? Or Octotio? I don't know. It has a nice Skyrim guitar in the beginning.
Yeah!
And then it just didn't
appear
again. I
love my Ragnar the Red guitar.
Yeah, what instrument is that? Do you know?
It's actually a harp.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense.
I only know because when I was listening to this album on Spotify, there was a little thing that popped up. And it was a note from Floating Points, and it said, Akotio just dropped, featuring my friend on harp. And then you can hear them play the harp.
That's so cool.
Yeah. Also, Akotio, it's a desert plant, and I learned about it from this card game that I play, and I really like it.
I was gonna ask if it does anything, but it's just a plant. But I'm thinking of ayahuasca.
I mean, I'm sure. I think Akatia might have some thorns in it, so it would do hurting you.
It's like, oh, it's a desert plant. That means I can get high off of it. I'm just thinking about sleep right now.
It's a semi-succulent. It's more closely related to blueberries than to cactuses. Interesting.
That's crazy.
Okay.
Now, hold up. That's crazy. That doesn't make sense. Why would they say that?
Uses. Okay, sometimes it's used as poles in fencing material. Sometimes they're used as walking sticks.
Blueberries are mammals, and cacti are reptiles.
Oh, cacti are so reptiles. Bathing in water that contains crushed Akatia flowers has been used to relieve fatigue. That's not true, Wikipedia. It's from a spring 2001 study.
Reduce fatigue? Does it just have caffeine in it? I don't get it.
That's not how things work, right? I mean, I guess if you bathe in water, you feel good.
Yes, one time I took a shower.
Nice. Only once?
Yeah. Last shower of the year. I'm dating the episode. You have no clue what this is.
Oh, no. This is a little early for the last shower of the year, I gotta say.
Birth 4000, I think it's perfect. Except there was like a, you know, again, he's playing the same note redundantly, and it has like an effect going on it, right? That kind of mutes it on and off, kind of in like a sine wave sort of deal. And then he goes up the scale off that note, but each time it goes to it moves notes, it feels like the attack is at the same time that the sine wave is on like a negative. So it just, the attack sounds muted on each, it doesn't, I know it's on purpose because he's so smart, but it doesn't sound on purpose. It sounds like it was a mess up.
I don't know what you mean by those things you just said, but I like that you said them. Sorry, what do you mean by attack? Can you define that?
When you strike a piano key, that first, it sounds louder at the beginning. There's the attack, and then sustain, and then decay. Those are the three parts of playing a note. And that's very normal talk in terms of, like, electronic music. You know, you set the attack really high, or the sustain even or similar height. And then the decay, you modify, whatever. So in this case, when the attack of the notes come in, it's kind of muted. And so it seems like he's going up a scale really quick. Literally, it's like in a matter of a second he does this. But he doesn't change that sine wave. And so it mutes it whenever he goes to the next note. And it sounds weird. But he also makes it so obvious that he's, like, changing. You know, he's playing the same note, and then he does this weird thing, and then he goes to the next note. And so it's so obvious that he's doing that, you know, transition. But I just don't like it. It's in the middle of Birth 4000. If you listen for it, you may find it. If you don't know what I'm talking about, that's okay.
It's like a little Where's Waldo. You know whose attacks is set the highest? Rampardos. Which also has Mold Breaker, by the way.
Wait,
Mold Breaker, yeah. Are we talking about cleaning my bathtub?
He has the highest, or she, they have the highest basis attack?
I don't know. I know it has really high attack. It has 165. Nah, it's not as high as Deoxys attack.
Well, I said the highest. So you need to give me the highest.
Which Pokemon has the highest attack? It would be so nice if it was just Machamp. Okay, it's Mega Mewtwo X.
Yeah. It's like, what if it was Machamp?
Right, he's got four arms. I suppose there's other Pokemon that have four arms.
My favorite song is Affleck's Place. I love how
that was my least favorite song.
Oh, I love how gross it is and just grungy.
Yeah, I don't like those parts of it. It doesn't sound. It sounds like it's trying to be avant-garde, but in a way that doesn't. It's avant-garde in this way where it's like not different enough. Okay, it's like you're like, hey, check this out. I made a crazy dish, and you made like a sandwich that's like cheese and like cabbage, and it's like, okay, that's different, but you're not really going crazy with it. Like, I want to have a sandwich that's weird, that's like cheese and like ice. Oh.
I didn't know how you could get crazier than cheese and cabbage.
People are not incorporating ice into their sandwiches, right? That's avant-garde.
Dude, I'm so glad you have a job now. You're no longer eating ice sandwiches.
Yeah, those were the days. Ice sandwiches with salt.
Okay, cheese and cabbage is crazy. Also, I really like it because it's grungy, but trying to be palatable. And I don't know if it did well or not. I think you would like it too.
Okay, so I guess you like Affleck's Place and you like cheese and cabbage sandwiches. And I would not like either, so that's fair.
No. You don't like cheese and cabbage because you said it was too not crazy enough.
Yeah.
I'll eat it, but I wanted something more.
Yeah.
What about Fast Forward? What if I said Fast Forward was my favorite song? Because I was stuck between those two. I honestly switched it in the bathroom right before starting this.
So oh, that's what you were doing. Fast forwarding in the bathroom. Fast forwarding in the bathroom, it sounds like a euphemism, but what it really is when you only brush your teeth for like 1 minute. And then you like pretend that you've done it all, even though you really haven't. We've all been there, folks. Okay, fast forward. Yeah.
Oh, it seems like there's so many instruments in that. It's like cloud rap, but cloud electronic. Do you know what cloud rap is?
Yeah, cloud rap is rap where they mumble and you cannot, there's not really a beat. And it's 2013.
Yeah. Good stuff. I love it.
Really? I don't really like much cloud rap.
Well, there's like Location by Playboi Carti. That's like the quintessential.
A music cut to Harry Fraud. That one?
Yeah, that was good. but it's also just like ASAP Rocky.
Yeah. Oh, the Clams Casino beats. Oh. And Clams Casino was doing his stuff. That was amazing.
I think he's the quintessential. Yeah, good point. Great point.
Clams Casino is so cool.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, how I feel about cloud rap is that almost all cloud rappers sound better to me when they're on a more grounded beat.
Yeah. Well, for Location by Playboi Carti, it has a very grounded beat. And that's why I like it, is because... Wow. The drums are... Oh, you don't like it. The drums are very...
No, I do like it. No, I do like it. That song's awesome.
Drums are very consistent, and they keep you on track, and then the floaty stuff is... It's all over the place. I accidentally almost said floating points. That's the...
Would you say that of all the characters in Super Smash Bros., Jigglypuff would be the character of this week's episode?
Like us talking? Just
I
in
feel
general.
Like Jigglypuff, floating points, cloud rap.
Well, Jigglypuff floats, yeah. Is that it?
Yeah. You know, I thought there was something more there, but I think that is it, actually.
I think this happened last episode.
What did I talk about? What?
Oh,
what?
God. I don't know, but you said something and you were totally on to something, and I was like, wait. Is it because of the main thing that they do? You're like, Yoshi lays eggs. And I'm like, yeah. And you're like, yeah, we're talking about eggs. And it's like, yeah.
I mean, at what point does Yoshi not lay eggs? I think that's just correct.
Honestly, way too often. Imagine a carton of eggs and they're all polka dotted. Like Yoshi's eggs.
Do I get to throw them?
Yeah, and then you get to complain if you die because you're like, that was my RP. A Blaze is my least favorite.
That makes sense. I was going to put that as my least favorite, but I felt like it was disqualified as almost being an outro song. And you know how I'm always saying my least favorite is the outro or the interlude, and that kind of... So I didn't... But is that... Why you don't like a Blaze?
When I picked it, I was like, this... I feel like we've talked about similar stuff before, but I didn't really think about it too in depth until you said it right now. But it's just all these songs kind of have a whole like beginning, middle, and end to them. You know, they all have like their own little build up and everything, mm-hmm. whether we like it or you like it or not. But then Ablaze is like, all right, it's the end of the album, and I was like, well, I thought these are all like different songs, so Ablaze would just do so much better on a different album, if. If Floating Points made an album with a Blaze, I really like it. It just doesn't fit in the album.
Yeah, right. Each song is kind of self-contained in this way where they don't need... Honestly, he could have put a Blaze as an extended outro to Tilt Shift, and that would have been fine for closing out the album.
That's a great point. That's a really good point.
Plus, because those are two, I think those are the two shortest ones. My favorite song was Vocoder. I liked it. I've been listening to it for a while since it came out as a single. Now with one night stand. That's good stuff. I liked how it just gets a little wonky and abstruse near like three quarters of the way in, where you're like, I don't know what's going to happen next. And then something happens and you're like, I didn't know that that's what was going to happen to the song. In the same way that, like, it gave me vibes that reminded me of One Way or Another by Blondie. So that song kind of plays it, like, normal, and then there's a bridge, and the bridge is just, like, so good. And, like, just, yeah, like, three quarters of the way through the song, they just have another idea. And I feel like Vocoder, about three quarters of the way, is just like, I'm gonna do other stuff now. And then he comes back and pulls it back in for one more. Boop, 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 and then it ends. But that song, I mean, it leads off the album, I think, for a reason. It's the strongest one in my mind.
You bring up Blondie. Birth 4000 reminded me of like a Cocteau Twins song.
Mmm.
That's it. It was just like the melody of, or the notes that they were playing. I don't know.
It's really cool how just like some song will just like hit a few notes and you'll be like, oh, that reminds me of something from a completely different genre. And then you'll feel proud of yourself. You'll be like, haha, I made a connection.
The NPR has a song at the beginning of the hour, and it sounds like, I think I've talked about this before, it sounds like Rome by B-52. And since it goes on at 8 a.m., and that's when I get to work, and, you know, sometimes I'm late. Rome by B-52 is stuck in my head. Even though it was never played.
That's cool. Have you been listening to or watching much college football this semester, this year?
Yeah, this semester. I forgot you are in school, so.
There's that Rome played by some marching band. Do, 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 do. And they kind of do, 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 do. And I don't even, the funny thing is I've heard this commercial a million times, do not even know what product it is for.
I think it's for TV.
What?
I think they want us to watch more TV.
TV can't have an ad for itself. That's
I think
illegal.
It's ad for like NCAA football, right?
Rome ad, NCAA football. Oh no, it's talking about Rome Odunze. Doesn't he play for the Bears now? Yeah.
It's R-O-A-M, is Rome by B-52s.
Yeah, I'm going to have to put it in quotes. Do, 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 do. Oh, it's Fairfield by Marriott. Enjoy the home field advantage. Marriott Bonvoy.
It's crazy that companies spend so much money, and then I don't even remember what it is.
Yeah, I'm too dumb to know what you're advertising to me for, unless it's Coca-Cola, in which case I will always want a Coke after you send me an ad for it.
Yeah, there's just like junk food ads coming on at like 6 p.m. And I'm like, oh, they know.
They know.
They know I just got rice and chicken in the fridge.
Can I say that my favorite food is Coca-Cola? Is that allowed?
I remember last time you said beer, and then we're like, no, you have to pick a different one.
Oh, I just keep picking drinks.
I'll give you a smoothie, but not Coca-Cola.
But smoothies are just there to eat when you don't want to eat.
You know, if it's your favorite food, if you could have it three meals in a row. So if you have Diet Coke or Coke three meals in a row, then I'll give it to you.
Okay.
But that's like all you could, that's all you could
that rule.
Eat. Since it's a food.
One time when I was a camp counselor, we paid one of my camp kids $5 to drink a 3 liter of Coke.
Three
Not
liter?
A 2 liter, a 3 liter. Yeah, it wasn't real Coke. It was off brand Coke.
Is he alive?
Yes. And why did his parents bring him to camp with a 3 liter of Coke? Sorry, cola.
What does a 3 liter even look like?
I don't know. It was 3 liters.
That's crazy. Is it off? You said off brand, but like, is it from like another 3 liter?
Look, you can buy a 3 liter at Walmart of Coke, and it says original taste in really big letters for some reason. It actually says original taste twice. Why does it do that?
I see that. Do you know yet you could sell anything on Walmart? Like, it's like Amazon. Like, people could just have.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm on Amazon right now. I'm going to search. Phloem.
I learned that from dye wear guy. Who's the
dye workwear?
Yeah, dye workwear.
Oh, people. Oh,
you don't like him?
No, I feel like men's fashion or fashion in general is just a way. I used to care a lot about fashion, but I hate it now because what it does is it makes you judge other people unnecessarily. And yourself, and then you feel bad for not spending money. Because you're like, ah, that person's jeans don't fit perfectly. They're less of a person for that. And you're like, I don't care if your jeans, like, if you're not trying to have your jeans fit well, that doesn't matter if they don't fit well. But it, like, forces you to, like, or at least the way that he perceives the world, and people disagree with me on this, but I think it just makes you into this judgy person.
Mm. Yeah, his account is just judging people.
Yeah. It's like, well, then if you're judging all these people who are like, usually they're like bad right wing politicians, which like, I think that's fun. But then you kind of creeps into you. It's like, well, what am I wearing clothes the right way? No, I'm not. Why am I going to get judged? And then you just feel bad about yourself. At least that's my thought.
I like fashion because I feel cool when I got that fit on.
Oh, when you got that fit on, when you're walking down the street.
Yeah, but then I've never had that feeling the other half of the comic where it's like, man, that guy totally doesn't have that fit on. Like, I don't really have that feeling. Sometimes I'm like, oh, he's wearing, today I did think like, wow, he's wearing navy blue and black. Like, I think Claire told me not to do that once. But I didn't really care that he did. He still looked pretty good. Definitely better looking than I was. So, I don't know. But
can do that, that's the healthy way to do it. If you can make yourself feel good without making other people, without feeling judgy or feeling bad and judged, I feel like it's really hard to get in that self-esteem position.
I gotta be judging people, though. Right? I don't know. Sometimes it's kind of fun to judge people.
I feel like it can be fun to judge, but it's toxic overall.
Yeah, definitely.
It's hard to know when to turn off the judgment.
Yeah.
Judge not, lest ye be judged.
So you really didn't like Affleck's Place?
Huh? I'll give it another listen after this episode.
Oh, Affleck's Palace. I also need to listen to it after this
Wait,
episode.
I thought it was called Affleck's Place. Oh, it's Affleck's Palace. It's not Ben Affleck.
Yeah, what is he, outside being sad, drinking a Dunkin' and smoking a cig?
Yeah, and it's J-Lo's. It's actually J-Lo's palace now.
Oh, yeah, she got it.
Yep, she got it in the divorce.
She's single now. She's free.
Jose.
Who's that?
Was it Jose Canseco? Yeah. Do you know Bill actually got Jose Canseco's autograph?
When?
He apparently visited the Lansing Lugnuts field for some celebrity softball game. And Bill went and got his autograph.
No way! Jose Canseco was in Lansing?
He was in Lansing.
And he went to a Lugnuts game. That's so good. Dang, now I want to listen to Sleep, Dope Smoker. What have I been listening to?
Yeah, give us your recs.
I've been listening to so much Over Mono. Oh, man. Oh, I've been trying to remix That's So Raven theme song.
Oh, yeah, you were telling me about this.
That's so much fun.
What direction are you taking it?
Very poppy-esque. I'm just trying to... It's just such a good theme song, and it needs to last longer. So I'm trying to do just that.
That is a problem with theme songs. They're short.
I found out how to get the stems of a song. And so the stems are like each instrument. So I, you know, in FL Studio, I could play with the bass guitar. And so it just only plays the bass guitar, and I'm able to like cut it up and move the notes around.
Dang, that's
which is
cool.
Really fun. Because it's like, okay, here's one thing that he's playing, and then it goes to, like, a bass breakdown, and then to the next part. And I'm like, wait, no, I want to take that breakdown out, mix these notes into it so that this part could be repeated, you know? So I did that once, and it sounds like a human modified it. But it sounds pretty fun.
Hey, well, that's the J. Dilla touch.
Yeah, Jay Dilla, as in like, oh yeah, these notes aren't really on beat, but it's supposed to be that way.
Yeah, that's what you're doing.
Oh,
the name of the game is Lightworks.
Anyways, I really like this album. I would love to see it live. I love how, you know, just it sounded when I was listening to it. I was like, yeah, this is clubby and everything. This is what I wanted. Charlie XCX album to sound a little bit more like, or make me feel rather. A little bit experimenting with
stuff. You wanted the actual club classics.
Yeah.
By the way, yeah. The Charlie XCX remix album was a little bit more like what I wanted the actual album to be like. Plus she got Blade and Young Lean. Oh.
Hilarious. And they killed it. I really
liked
it.
They killed
them.
It. Yeah. Young Lean and Robin on the track together, or is that the one with Blade? Oh, it's so good.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's so silly.
Blade's new album, Cold Visions.
Cold Visions. That one's good. I think that one's an 8. Okay, but this album, what number are you giving it?
I'm also giving this one 8.
8.
8.
I'm going to give it a 7.
Hey,
it's one of those albums where I liked it, and in theory I like it a lot, but then in practice I'm not coming back to it as much as I thought I would be.
I'm coming
back
to.
That's how I think.
Yeah.
And that's how I think. That's what the difference between a 7 and an 8 is for me. I feel like 7s and 8s are usually pretty equivalent in terms of quality, but 8s have a little more replay value.
I wish it all kind of sounded like Vocoder, the first song.
Yeah.
I think it's just because it has that lyrics in it, or someone talking.
Oh, yeah. As a human, I love hearing human.
Yeah. Yeah, I really do. But everything else was really good. I think what he was trying to go for, he really did a good job. So I got to give it an 8. Cool.
I feel like the episode's over.
Man, I felt like it was over before we rated it, but yeah.
Wow. Well, thanks for listening to the episode, everyone, and I hope that
you said, like, wow.
Wow.
Cool.
Swell.
Yeah, thanks for listening.
Yeah, and remember, if you didn't like the audio quality, text me, because if I don't get any texts, I won't change the audio quality.
Where can they reach you?
You can reach me at tedschwaba@gmail.com, or they can hit me up on the celly. Same number. I ain't changed my number since the freshman grade.
Oh, I cut you off last time. You said the number.
Oh, 1-800-MIX-A-LOT.
Wait, really? That's your what?
That would be so cool, right?
All right. Yeah, all right. See you guys.